Hi, welcome to Days in the Wild Big Game Hunting Podcast, brought to you by Phoenix Shooting Bags. Today we're going to talk a little bit about hunting opportunities on one of South Dakota's reservations. And I got my buddy Steve with us on the phone, and we are going to chat a little bit about it. What's going on, Steve?
Things are pretty good back here.
Yeah?
Going good.
Freezing your ass off or what?
Oh man, last week got a little cold.
One of my apps still has, you know, where I hunt over there, you know, saved in the search, so it shows me the every morning. This morning showed me it was like 12 degrees. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah,
I'm glad I'm not there.
Yeah, my last hunting client was a 12-year-old girl. She did a pretty good job, handling all that.
Yeah. They're tougher than me. That's for sure. So, to give us a little quick rundown about yourself, and then a quick rundown on the res.
Okay. First of all, my name's Steve Langdew Sr. I've been a hunting guide here on the Loughborough Sioux Indian Reservation for about 30 years. Like I said, I'm a hunting guide on the Loughborough Sioux Reservation that's centrally located in South Dakota. And we got about 220,000 acres total reservation, which is about 160,000 is tribally owned. It's not individually owned. One thing that the wildlife department does really, really well here, and I really like that portion of it, is that they have about 60,000 acres of walk-in hunting, and that's the best. I put up our walk-in areas against any other walk-in areas in the nation. I mean, they really manage it well, and I really give kudos to that department because they have food plots, they plant shelter belts, like 20,000 acres of wildlife habitat, 7,000 acres in CRP. Mm-hmm. You know, they offer a lot of hunting land that, you know, individuals could come hunt on.
Yeah, I got the opportunity to walk do a little bit of hunting on some of that walk-in when I was hunting with your guide. What was his name? I forgot now.
Davis. Good. Yep, Davis.
Yeah, we hunted some walk-in stuff. Yeah, there was one that was really really intriguing. Butted up against some private, and had just about everything. Had the breaks, had the river right there, had some ag fields from the neighbor, CRP, good woodlots. It was kind of a nice little spot. Lots of rubs in there, and we actually went in there, did a little rattling and stuff, and didn't weren't able to pull. Well, actually, I'm sorry, we pulled a small little buck and then doe up, but we didn't see any shooters in there. But I liked it. It was kind of cool. It was a different experience. I would have preferred to hunt the whole time where we end up when I was hunting with you the last day. That's more my style, you know, kind of glassing from a distance and making a move. The other stuff was a little bit more still hunting, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's talk about the tag situation. How does that work out over there?
Okay, the tag situations is that the Loughborough Wildlife Program, or the Loughborough Sioux Tribe anyway, they have anywhere from trophy buffalo, trophy elk, white-tailed deer, mule deer. The process of drawing a tag is that you would probably first need to contact the Loughborough Wildlife Department, and that would be through... through the internet, it'll just be loughboroughwildlife.com. And basically on that website, you could get the application to draw the trophy elk and the trophy buffalo would have to be, you would have to apply for that. I want to say the first part of March.
Okay.
And white-tailed deer and the mule deer would be sometime before August, because that's when they draw for those tags.
Okay. All right. I know the price of the deer was around 600. What's the elk and buffalo? Do you know?
You know what? It all depends on what you're looking for. Like the management bulls are at a lower price, and the trophy bulls are, I want to say, they are at $3,500 to $4,000.
Gotcha.
For the trophy bulls.
And then you have to get a secure guide for those, correct, too?
For those, yeah, that's 100%. That's actually included in that price.
Oh, it is.
For those two, yeah.
That's not terrible at all. Now it's all free range.
Actually, the buffalo and the elk aren't in free range. We have We have like three different big units that are 6,000 acres.
Okay.
And they're in like three different spots. One's in Rolling Breaks. The other ones are in like a Rolling Hill environment.
Okay. And those are, so they're fenced then?
Yep.
Okay. Interesting. All right. And so on the deer hunts, you apply, you get a tag. You have to hunt with a guide, correct? Or can you?
No, sir. You don't have to.
Oh, you don't? Okay. And
nope.
What land is available to you if you're not hunting with a guide? Because I know when I was actually hunting with you, we were actually hunting something that was like leased out to you or zoned out to you. I don't remember how you described it, but
yeah, there's several range operators, ranchers,
mm-hmm.
and we all have our little leased range units.
Okay.
Most of that land is tribally owned, where you would have to ask permission to hunt those lands.
Mm-hmm.
Besides that, there's a lot of, like I said, there's like 20,000 acres or is it 60,000 acres of walk-in land to where you really do not need permission to hunt those.
Okay.
Because that's basically designated land for that.
So if a guy just wanted to come apply for a tag, he can access those walk-in areas on his own without a
exactly.
Tag. Okay. 10-4.
And it's pretty good land. A lot of big animals get shot in those walk-ins.
Oh, yeah. I could see that. And now the stuff that we were on at the end that I came when I was with you that last day, I hunted 3 days, guys, by the way, on the reservation this year after I filled my South Dakota state tag. Now that was land that was not accessible to the public.
Actually, it's more of a controlled situation, mm-hmm. but it is available to the public just because I don't own the land.
Okay.
You know, I'm a rancher, so I just basically lease it.
10-4. Gotcha. Oh, so there's quite a bit of opportunity for a guy that just wants to come and do it, but in all honesty, I suggest you probably better off for hiring Steve. See, I was under the impression that it was that you weren't allowed to.
No.
When I spoke to, I forgot who I spoke to over there in your office, not in your office, but in the Game and Fish office.
The Walpit office?
Yeah. And then, but okay, either way.
Well, actually, it's I mean, it's more of a like a leasing preference. Some range operators will let hunters on. Some will have a harder time letting them on for whatever reason they may have, you know.
Gotcha. So it's like dealing with any other landowner. You kind of just got to get permission.
Yep,
Okay.
exactly.
All right. That makes sense. That makes more sense. Cool. So let's talk about the deer. You guys got whitetail and mule deer, and they pretty much occupy about the same habitat, but what are some of the differences, and where do you find whitetail versus mule deer? What if you're trying to target one or the other, what are some things that you can do to optimize that?
Well, specifically for mule deer, I will hunt more of the river breaks where there's not so much agriculture. They're more of a browser type of animal. So if I was gonna trophy hunt mule deer, I would look in the hardest place to walk into, or the hardest place to get to would probably be the best spot for mule deer, the larger size mule deer anyway. But there is that transitional areas where you'll find mule deer intermixing with whitetails, where the egg is like cornfields and milo fields and stuff like that. You will see that transitional area, especially in my unit. I have like three individual pastures, and I know, like on my east end of my pasture, that's where mainly the mule deer are. On the west side of the pasture, there's some ag over there, and it's more flat and small little undulating hills. That's usually where the whitetails are at, but there's some intermingling going on as well in there.
Gotcha. If a guy was coming to hunt with you, what could he expect as far as trophy quality on a whitetail and then qu trophy quality on a mule deer?
The whitetails, 150 and higher. I mean, there's a lot of 130s to 150s, and a lot of those bucks. I mean, when I see my hunting clients come in, I visit with them, and I kind of know their background and stuff, and I kind of make a determination from there. I mean, I always try to get them the biggest and all that, but there's a lot of guys to where they'll see a nice, respectable 130, 140 inch deer and shoot it and be totally happy with it.
Right.
And on my property, I can't, since I don't own it, I can't manage it like how a normal landowner would, where you just shoot the older bucks. I don't have that luxury here. So, there's a little bit of give and a little bit of take there. But for the whitetails, it's about 130 to 150 is pretty common, but there's others that, my biggest that I guided last year was a 162 inch whitetail.
Nice. Nice.
Muleys, on the average, would be about 150 to 160.
What do you think the potential for that is?
Pretty high. That's I'd say I'd say in my 90s.
Nice. What's a typical day of hunting with you look like?
Depends on the hunter. Like I said, I really visit with the hunter before we hunt, and I kind of get a vibe of, he may have health issues, or he may be healthy and can walk a lot. So I really, basically interview them, so to speak, and I let them know what I have to offer. I got stand hunting, I have elevated blinds. I got ground blinds so we can spot and stalk, or, you know. So, you know, I really try to fine tune it to them and then incorporate how they hunt in a certain area where I know they're going to have a pretty good chance of shooting a nice animal.
Nice. So pretty much you can incorporate a lot of different tactics. It's not just one-sided. You know, all the little Midwest tactics work, all the Western tactics work. That's one of the reasons why I love hunting in South Dakota, is that,
yeah, like, you
know, it's spot and stalk, still hunting, decoying, calling,
and all of that
stuff works.
All of that.
Yep. Nice. I'm trying to think, what are some what are the season dates for archery and rifle for deer?
Archery usually opens up like the I want to say the third week in September.
Okay, so pretty late.
Yeah, and it runs all the way to December 20th of this year.
Yeah, five more days, huh? My tag's good for five more days. I got to come down.
Come on down.
Yeah.
You're more welcome to.
Oh, I'd love to, but I got to kill second a deer rut here. Is,
yeah, the second rut's going on right now.
Oh, is it? Nice.
Yep.
Nice. So why don't you share with us how people could get a hold of you and maybe look to booking a hunt and getting a tag to book a hunt. Is that stuff, or do you could help people get tags, correct?
Sure. Okay. I mean, I can, I, you know, tell them
what's the one, you know, when to put
I
it
can,
in.
I can let them know. I can let them know the application process and help guide them through that.
Okay. So what's the best way to get a hold of you?
The best way to get a hold of me, there's through the internet. You if you went to that lorberwildlife.com.
Okay.
And once you're at that site, there's a menu that says tribal hunting guides, and if you click on that, it'll show like a photo gallery with names, phone numbers, and email addresses. That's one way to get a hold of me, or else you can just give me a call at 605-730-1817.
Awesome. All right, I'll put a link into the show notes, guys, if you want to try to get a hold of Steve, and I'll put his phone number there as well. There's some good opportunity, and I know you really can't speak to the other reservations, but you could actually go and hunt, I think, five other places there as well. I mean, so technically in 1 year you can kill six deer in actually seven deer if you drew a rifle tag in South Dakota. But it's a neat place. It's, I would say, pretty central. You guys are pretty central in the state, right?
Yeah, we're just like 60 miles downstream from Pierce, South Dakota,
which is the capital. Right, yep,
right along the Missouri River, banked up to it.
Exactly, and you guys got great waterfowl hunting there too, don't you?
Oh, the waterfowl hunting's awesome. It's awesome right now. The Wildlife Department has two managed flooded corn hunting ponds that are thermally heated by artesian wells just flow. And right now there's thousands of mallards out there to hunt. And usually if it wasn't for this virus, you know, that everybody's having to deal with, that is actually closed down to the non-residents this year, but it is an awesome place to hunt.
Awesome.
For waterfowl.
Well, sweet. Thanks, Steve. I want to thank you for coming on and taking the time. Give us a little rundown about hunting out there. And thank you again for spending a couple days with me. That was it was fun. It wasn't fun driving 2 hours going and coming every day to come see you,
Oh, geez, I
but
felt bad too. Man, I felt bad for you.
oh man, and a two-wheel drive truck on icy roads, not fun.
Yep.
That one morning, I about cried. I spun out three times, almost went off the road, killed myself a couple times, and I was like, Jesus, this is not good.
Yep, and then you had that long drive ahead of you.
Yep, exactly. Yep. So, but no, I enjoyed myself. Davis was a good guy. I really, that last day when I was, our last afternoon, I should say, because the morning was, we put on a lot of miles and we didn't see any shooter bucks. But that afternoon, we got on a couple big guys, and unfortunately, I was a little too anxious and
You
blew it.
come so close, though, John. You come so close.
40 yards on that big guy, but
Yep.
I didn't have a clear shot, and then the doe caught me moving. So, but
That happens.
yeah. If I had a couple more days, I think we would have got it done. But
I know you would have.
yeah, it was close. It was fun. We'll have to do us if I ever draw the tag again. We'll see.
Sounds good, my friend.
All right, buddy. Thanks a lot, and thanks for coming on. And guys, reach out to Steve if you want a good hunt in South Dakota on some giant bucks. All right, we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
All